Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So hello and welcome to Triple Captain. My name's Rich Wolfenden. You know my voice as I am not the one who starts the episodes with a well-written poem, so I do the normal intros. My co-host, Luke Jurdy, is the one who is the FPL Shakespeare, as we call him. How you doing, Luke, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Rich. Yeah, apologies. Haven't got a poem this week. I've just been rushed off my feet despite breaking up for Christmas. I've been very busy, so haven't had a chance to do a poem, I'm afraid. But hopefully the way we talk about the game week and the advice we give can make up for the lack of Shakespearean FPL poetry.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on social media, and we are at Triple Captain 3 on socials. We are Triple Captain. We are an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league with a little bit of banter thrown in here and there, if we can manage it.
A lovely bit of banter.
And we love the banter. So yeah, another week down. How are we feeling, boys? How did your game week go? We're also, of course, here with producer Ben. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to write a quick poem, just so we don't, because I know that people really do like it. So I've got so far, Son is good, so is Kane. Oh God, here we go again.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it works.
Nice. No, I've actually had 70 points this week, and I don't think I've seen 70 points this whole season. But then it looks like everyone has had 70 points this week, so.
Oh.
Is that a green? Is 70 a green?
Hey, it's not a green. It's a very small red. But can you believe it?
What?
Because the average is 62 this week.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
I'm so surprised that 70's not a green.
Yeah, it's so hard. Because I got... Do you want me to run through my team? Tell you how
I got
on.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I mean, I was messaging yous all day, literally, because all I do on Saturdays when I don't have a match is sit in and watch the football and try and message people about the football. So I just drop in loads of messages to like the chat going, oh, Ziyech, what's he doing there? Oh, Zaha's not in the squad. Just all that sort of nonsense. So I kind of lived the whole FPL weekend live as it was, really. So it was absolute panic stations for me, because I think after the first day, I think I had 6 points or something like that, and that was only from Calvert-Lewin. 8 points, because Taylor played in that game as well. But it all hung in the balance. It looked like I was going to drop down like out of the top million at one point until the Spurs game, and thank God I captained Harry Kane. He got me a nice 24. Son delivered for me once more again, getting me 13. And then the only other people who delivered for me were Calvert-Lewin, like I said, got his goal. Robertson got his clean sheet. And Fernandez off the bench to not only save me, but save Manchester United as well. So, yeah, 65 points. Although I did take a -4 last minute because I brought in Chilwell for Mitchell of Crystal Palace. So wasn't worth it, really. Probably could have waited another week for that. But I've got two premium defenders in my team, which I'm happy with. But yeah, it's just Spurs assets just saving me at the moment. And I feel very, very lucky to have Kane delivering once more. And hopefully he'll go on a run now of like, delivering 7 weeks on the bounce like he just has before the previous game week. But yeah, dropped down, sadly. But it could have been a lot worse. So I think I was 350k on the last podcast and now I'm 650k. So I've dropped down. My game week rank was 3.4 millionth and I got 65 points, which is insane.
Yeah, that is pretty brutal. Yeah, 65, obviously. Yeah, with the -4, I guess that's 61. So yeah, you're just kind of just a point below the average. such a high average this week, where it seems like every single premium option delivered in some way.
Yeah.
So you kind of needed those extra little points from elsewhere to take you up. I was in a very similar position, kind of up and down. I think very similar position to a lot of people this game week, where my rank was up and down throughout. And again, it just points to stop checking your live rank while it's while the game week's going on, because it changes all the time, doesn't it? I mean, after Saturday, I think I was up to 55k with the Kevin De Bruyne captaincy. And then as Mo Salah scored his goals for Liverpool, I was on a red arrow to like 118k. And then as Liverpool kept their clean sheet, I was back on a green arrow. So it really did zigzag throughout the game week. But I finished on 75 points, which I was really, really happy with. It gets my average score per game week over 11 game weeks to 64.
Ideal.
64 points a game week. And as we said, if you're scoring between 60 and 65 points a game week throughout the whole season, you should be in for a pretty good season. So if I can keep that up, then I should in theory make top 10k, if I can keep that up, of course, which is easier said than done. But I had two free transfers, and obviously I've only just played my wild card, so a couple of weeks ago. So I only made the one transfer in the end. I brought in McCarthy for Martinez because I wanted to play in goalkeeper. Southampton's fixtures looked okay. I thought Martinez and McCarthy are probably going to score around the same amount of points in the next few weeks. Obviously, apart from Martinez might have a double, but I needed a playing goalkeeper. I kept Grealish. I benched Grealish. He will come back in next week. And 3.9 million Nico Williams paid off this week. Yeah. I knew he might get a couple of games in place of TAA, and it happened. He did get booked, but Liverpool kept a clean sheet against Wolves, which with Fabinho and Matip as their two centre-backs, perhaps not a lot of people would have predicted. And obviously they've got backup goalkeeper Kelleher in goal at the moment. But yeah, managed to keep that clean sheet.
Did you see they spelled his name wrong on the
shirt? I know,
shirt?
Kelleher.
They missed out an E. His own club.
Did they?
Hasn't he been there since he was like 12 or something as well?
Isn't that just awful?
Yeah, so there wasn't, again, it wasn't like a huge, every single player returned. You know, McCarthy 2, Chilwell 2, Justin 2, then Robbo and Nico Williams. Robbo got 6 and Nico Williams with 5, which took me to that green arrow. And then it's basically Captain De Bruyne carrying the team again with his 14 points, which obviously became 28.
Nice.
Which was great start to the week. Bruno Fernandes is 6, Kane with 12, and Bamford with 8. Bamford's been threatening to score ever since I brought him in, and he finally delivered and got 2 bonus as well, which was nice. Then Adams and James Rodriguez absolutely gutted that in those 3 fixtures that I brought him in for, those really good fixtures for Everton, he didn't get a single return.
I know.
So really, really disappointed with that. But yeah, and I continue to climb the ranks without Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which seems mad, really, considering everybody's got him. But he hasn't had a huge score, has he, for a while? He's still trickling the points in, which is great, but it's not enough to damage my rank too much. So I finished the game week on 87k. So I've managed to get into the top 100k now.
Nice.
And hopefully I can push on for top 50k and beyond.
Very, very well done. That is a good old game week right there. So you had was it a slip up, was it 2 weeks ago? Because you've not had many red arrows at all this season, have you? You've had a steady, like, incline up the league table, right?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I've had about 4 in a row now. I'll just have a look at the game week history. I think I've since white. Yeah, that's my 4th green arrow in a row.
Very
before
nice.
I played my wild card, I had 3 red arrows, and then I got a green. Then played my wild card, and then I've had 3 green arrows since. So
and that just shows
the wild card is going very well.
Yeah, that just shows the importance of looking into future fixtures with your wild card, not just playing it on, you know, 1 or 2 game weeks. What about you then, Ben?
You know, I've just remembered why I've got a red arrow. It's because I ended up taking a -8 this week. Originally, originally wanted to take a -4, but then Luke put a message in the group for about Pep's press conference where, because I brought in Laporte, thinking, you know, the boys said my team's unbalanced and that I should probably get a premium defender in. So I was looking, I thought, oh, Man City's fixtures are tasty. You know, West Brom, Southampton, Newcastle, all before Christmas. I thought, oh, there's a few clean sheets there. Anyway, Laporte didn't start. So thanks for putting that in the group, Luke. I did bring in, what's his name? Ruben Dias instead.
Oh, yeah.
So he got 6 points for me and Laporte just sat on the bench with 0. I just thought, rather than just completely waste that, I might, if you've gone -4 and it's a waste, you might as well go -8. But I did bring in James Ward-Prowse as well, because I think he's looking great. Yeah, he got an assist. But overall, 70 points. Kane and Son did it for me. Calvert-Lewin and Vardy, 6 and 8, which is quite nice. Jota with 1 point. Again, I really thought that it was set up for Jota against Wolves.
Yeah, I know. But he started on the bench, didn't he?
Well, he did. Yeah, he played a total of 17 minutes.
Oh, that's frustrating.
I did say this about Jota.
I know. I know.
You run the risk.
We've got a question about him later on, which so we'll save it. But yeah, so kind of not a bad week. Without, if I didn't have Kane and Son, I'd be just even worse. So thank God for them.
I know what you mean. But I mean, like we said at the start of the podcast, like this week, it feels like everybody's delivered. So what is the right combination of premiums to have in your team? I think that's going to be, is that going to be our first talking point?
Yeah, I think we should dive straight in with that. Yeah, we're going to talk about premium mids. Well, not just mids, but premium options. And who are the best ones to have? Because we can't have them all. Although some people, if you look at our Twitter this week, some people are certainly trying to fit them all in and saying that you can. So we'll talk about that. And also, you wanted to talk mid-priced options as well, Rich.
Mid-price mids.
So I can squeeze in as many premium players into my squad as possible.
I suppose we're talking, what price bracket are we talking? Because we might be talking the lower option. Because mid-price, I'd say around 7.5, 8.
Yeah, so it would be lower than that. So it would be like...
So bargain basement midfielders.
Not like your Suchecks and your Bamans. I don't know why he popped into my head.
5.5 category sort of thing.
Yeah. So basically my budget is 5.8 million. So anything below that is what we're looking for. So I'm looking for you boys for inspiration on who to bring in.
That's not mid-price mids. That's like who's left mids.
It's like reasonably priced mids. The pound lounge midfield shopping is what I'm doing today.
Home bargain mids.
Yeah, that's it. All right, let's talk about premiums first, though, shall we?
Yeah. So, I mean, who the hell do we pick? There's a lot of great options all coming to the fore. And I think what happens a lot in FPL and what I've noticed over the last two and a bit seasons of being part of the community is that recency bias is a massive factor in FPL. So if someone scores a hat trick, immediately a lot of people want to bring them in. We saw it with Mahrez this week, and Mahrez was obviously very unlucky not to return. He had a great game. I think he even got a bonus point despite not returning. So fair enough, he was unlucky not to return, but the point still stands. And we did it last year, didn't we? I know I did it last year. Pukki scored a hat trick. I immediately brought him in. Somebody else scored a hat trick. I can't remember who it was now, but I immediately brought them in. And this week, obviously, defence-wise, there's only been a couple of clean sheets again. There hasn't really been any attacking returns for defenders. There hasn't been any huge scores for defenders. And the premium mids and the strikers have all returned. So suddenly everybody's thinking, well, how do we get Son, Kane, Salah, Bruno, KDB, Grealish all into the same team? So I guess the question is, for a start, do you try and fit them all in, or do you pick the best ones?
I mean, it's like you say, you're just going to have like a mid-heavy team, and then you're going to be stuck with these like weedy strikers who aren't going to score many goals. Well, I suppose there's quite a few this season who are quite low priced who are scoring quite a few, but I know what you mean. It's like you look at your team and it just seems unbalanced. Like if I had a midfield of, Son, Salah, De Bruyne, Grealish, Zaha, whatever, like the defence is seriously going to suffer. And if you can like bring in like Andy Robertson or, you know, Chilwell or something like that, like defenders who always look like they're going to get an attacking return every week, surely you're much more inclined to invest in an attacking defender who's more likely to do something than a really highly priced premium midfielder who, you know, will cost you significantly more. Surely it makes sense to go for those premium defenders.
Yeah, I'm certainly of that view. And that's because, again, looking at previous seasons and seeing that those defenders that are coming in at six and a half, 7 million are right up there with the top players and point scorers at the end of the season. I mean, granted, it hasn't quite worked out that way just yet.
Kurt Zouma being the number one defender this year. No one expected that.
Chelsea's second top scorer.
Is he?
Kurt Zouma.
Yeah, he scored four goals, hasn't he?
Yeah, scored more set pieces than anybody else this season as well, I heard.
Yeah, fair play to Zouma. It's obviously going to be one of those seasons for him. But I still wouldn't bring him in because he hasn't got that assist potential. He doesn't fly up and down the wings like the left backs and the right backs, does he? I don't know. Maybe I'm being silly.
Just gets his head on a lot of corners, that's it. You can't really, it's not really a skill, it's just, I guess, timing and being in the right place at the right time. There's no way of judging it.
I mean, it is a skill.
I mean, he's an international defender who's playing, you know, for a Premier League team, but it's just pure luck, obviously. I could do that on another day.
Yeah, you're not putting him in for Chelsea,
No,
Rich.
I'm going to stick with Balbuena, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when you're going to need that Andy Robertson 12-pointer, do you? I mean, there's going to be times where the premiums don't deliver, and they don't deliver every week. It's been such a rare week that all of them scored well. You know, De Bruyne scored, Fernandes got his assist, and bonus, even though he only came on at half-time. I mean, the man's a machine. Salah scored a huge amount, 14 points, I think. Son got 13 points. Kane got 12. Even Vardy returned as well this week. Like, that's not going to happen every single game week. So if you're putting all your eggs in that basket and then the rest of your team is made up of 4.5, 4.3, you know, low defenders and you know, bench fillers, then you could be in trouble if the premiums don't return. I mean, having said that, the premiums are returning a lot this season and they're all looking pretty good. But for me, it's a case of just picking the ones that I want rather than ripping up my entire squad in order to fit them all in. So at the moment, I've got three in terms of, if you include the defenders, right, I've got five. So I've got De Bruyne, Fernandes, Kane, Robertson and Chilwell. But then Robertson and Chilwell are cheaper than my other two midfielders, Grealish and Rodriguez. So whether you want to count them, they are premium defenders, aren't they? So I guess we count them as premium options. And then I've got the two mid-priced midfielders, a cheap defender, and then the two cheap strikers. I mean, what's been so brilliant about this season so far is that all the cheap strikers seem to be returning as well, don't they? You know, your Bamford, Adams. I mean, Danny Ings is back now. I can't wait to get Danny Ings back in my team somehow. So yeah, it's a plan to do it, isn't it? I mean, if we talk about my own situation, I want to get Salah back. The only real way of me getting Salah back in two moves is to get rid of Harry Kane. So it's because I'm not going to get rid of De Bruyne, I'm not going to get rid of Bruno Fernandes. So do I do that and go without Spurs? Is Salah going to score more than Kane over the next few, you know, a combination of Salah and, say, Callum Wilson? Are they going to score more than Kane and a 7 million midfielder?
I know. I mean, Son's top scorer with 100, and then Kane is only just behind him with 98. And Kane, I mean, let's just look at his stats quickly. What's that? Two games all season he hasn't delivered in. So I know he's a striker and he doesn't get as many points for, you know, goals and assists and clean sheets and whatever. But if he's delivering every week, how can you not afford to have Kane? That's the only issue I see, because nobody in midfield, apart from arguably Fernandes from Manchester United, is delivering week in, week out.
I just think Salah will score more over the next few weeks. And that's what it comes down to. Because of those fixtures, you know, Liverpool have got Fulham. Who else have they got? They've got, like, some really good-looking fixtures, haven't they?
Fulham this weekend, that's begging for a Salah goal in that game against Fulham, because that could be a cricket score, honestly.
That's the thing, isn't it? They got Fulham, then they got Spurs at home. I mean, that's going to be a really interesting game. And then Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, Burnley. I mean, they're good fixtures, aren't they? And I don't know. I mean, are Kane and Son going to keep this up? Because if you look at the stats and you look at the amount of shots that they're having, it's very low. I mean, it's very typical. I mean, as we said, it's very typical Mourinho style, isn't it? You knew in that second half against Arsenal, we weren't getting any more returns out of Son and Kane. Once they went 2-0 up, and obviously they've scored enough points anyway for that game week, so great. But is there a danger that if they go 1-0 up against the team and then they don't get that second, is there going to be any more returns? And we can't rely on Son assisting Kane and Kane assisting Son every single time they play. I mean, although they have done that, but it's got to stop at some point, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to have been slowing down a couple of weeks ago, but then, like you say, the weekend, they just showed it once more. They can link up again. But you know what? The next four games, proper testing games for Mourinho. And I think in most of these games, he's going to have to come out and play. Like, the Crystal Palace are probably going to, would happily take a draw against Tottenham considering they're sat top of the league. So I think that'll be Tottenham's prerogative to break down Crystal Palace. So that'll be really where Mourinho sides typically struggle. Like, I remember Manchester United, but everyone goes to Old Trafford. They sit back and defend, and Manchester United under Mourinho just couldn't, you know, crack that defence. So I'm expecting something similar for that against Palace. Liverpool, God knows what's going to happen in that game. They'll probably sit back. Leicester, hard to say. And then Wolves, again, they're going to have to go and get Wolves. So there might be more goals in those games against Palace and Wolves, but again, it could be flipped on its head, and that could be the chance where Palace and Wolves, you know, nick it on the counter-attack, doing what Mourinho would usually do, but they're doing Mourinho's tactics against Mourinho. It's going to be hard to see, but I'm looking to keep just one Spurs player in my team now, I think.
Yeah, I think if I had another wild card or something, then I'd probably think about getting Son back in and saving that extra money from not having Kane, sort of thing, because Son's cheaper. But I can't really do that, and I want Salah, so I may go without Spurs. I suppose with Spurs, the thing is as well, you haven't got that slight risk of rotation that you have with the other players, because it's very unlikely that Kane or Son are ever going to get dropped, because they're carrying the team completely in an attacking sense, aren't they? Whereas Salah could get a rest. You know, Mane's been rested before because they've got Jota there as well. De Bruyne looks pretty, you know, safe for City, but again, could be rested at any point. And obviously we saw that Bruno Fernandes was rested at the weekend as well.
That was so strange. What did you think of that?
Well, I think it's because of tonight, you know, because we've got that crunch match against Leipzig in the Champions League. So I think Ollie was trying to be clever and seeing if the team could win without him, and they really couldn't. I mean, United are an absolute enigma the way they're playing. It's just so inconsistent and bizarre.
It's all about him. If Bruno wasn't there, they'd be having a disastrous season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if Villa didn't play Grealish.
Well, yeah. Well, or as we're seeing, you know, Barkley as well had an effect not having him on the pitch.
Yeah, true. But yeah, no, it's so hard. It's so hard what to do, because obviously Son, I mean, I'm just looking at his like record here in terms of seasons gone by. He only got 11 goals last season. He's on 10 already. Will he be able to keep up this goal-scoring form, Son? Because obviously Kane tends to get 20 goals a season, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Kane seems to be playing in that, like, much deeper role as well, doesn't he? But he's taking his chances and he's getting the assists. So you can't really go... I mean, I love looking at stats and the amount of shots and stuff, but with players like Kane and Son, they're so clinical. Mm. You can't really go off that and say, well, they're not having that many shots. So, but then again, it just seems like... I just feel like they're a couple of games away. You know, they could quite easily have a couple of games in a row where it's very low scoring and those two don't return.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I might be wrong. So, but I guess, are we all in agreement that we can't fit De Bruyne, Salah, Bruno, Son, Grealish and Kane into our teams?
No, absolutely not.
We're all in agreement there, because I know someone on Twitter had done it, but the rest of his team just looked like an absolute, like, you know, mismatch of players. And he just picked them based on price.
Right.
So it could have been, you know, any of them, just completely based on price.
So we had like the Liverpool groundsman in goal and that sort of thing. Just like the utter reserves making up the team.
Yeah, there was like, you know, 4.3 defenders and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're all in agreement. You can't get all six.
Yeah. Definitely. I think five is the magic number, right?
Five, what, including Grealish?
God, I love that Grealish is in there. I love that. I love that his name is being talked about so much this season. As a, you know, forget about FPL, just as a Villa fan, it's so nice to hear this. I'm really enjoying this whole episode.
He's by far the best option at that price. You know, I was having a look at the midfielders in that price bracket earlier, and there's nobody else. I mean, James was doing it for the start of the season, but he's completely dropped off, hasn't he, for returns, unfortunately. Perhaps been a little bit unlucky, but he's not up there, you know, where he should be really for that price. And Grealish is far and wide the best option at that price. So we're all having Grealish there in that mid-priced option, right?
Yeah, Grealish there. I mean, you could go Zaha if you really wanted to, but...
Zaha, of course. Sorry, I was forgetting Zaha. He's having a great season
as well. He's been out, obviously, the last few weeks, but then he came back yesterday and, what, got two goals, was it, I think? So he's absolutely smashing it.
He's scored 18 points. Huge points.
I wasn't expecting him to come back. Kind of went under the radar a little bit, but still, 16% of players had him in their team still. But yeah, it's got to be either Zaha or Grealish. But again, Zaha's the man who carries Palace. But even though they won 5-1 at the weekend, I wouldn't look too much into that. You know, they're up against West Brom. West Brom were down to 10 men. And yeah, Spurs in the next game. It's not going to be a thumping 5-1 victory.
I think they've got tough fixtures, Palace, as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Spurs, then West Ham, then Liverpool. So a difficult run of three fixtures there. But Zaha is the man who gets into the penalty area. You know, just the slightest clip on his ankle, he's going to go down and he's going to win a penalty these days. So, and he's probably going to take it.
So does this take us on to mid-price mids?
Ooh. Yeah, it probably does. But in terms of, I think we should just nail down who our favourite premiums are for now, just in that upper category of, say, Son and upwards.
Son and upwards.
Who are we choosing? I know, are you having three or four? I think I'm only having three.
For midfielders?
I think they're going to be midfielders, yeah. But we can include anybody above 9.5 million.
Okay.
Anybody Son and above. Who are we having?
Yeah, I've only got three. So yeah, I've got Son, I've got Fernandes, and I've got Harry Kane.
And is that who you want going forward?
I will look to move Son out for Salah once I get rid of injured Ziyech.
Ben?
I've got Son, Kane and Vardy.
And you're going to stick with them?
I don't know. I honestly think Tottenham will look to defend a lot over the next few weeks. Then they've got a lovely run. Next few weeks are tricky. Then kind of over Christmas, New Year, I think it is, they've got a really nice run. Where is it? Yeah, from game week 16 onwards, that's the 30th of December, they've got Fulham, Leeds, Villa, Sheffield United, then Liverpool, but Brighton. They've got a really... Then West Brom. Maybe a couple of weeks with them out and then get them back in again.
Is that Spurs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Kane out for this week and go with De Bruyne, Fernandes and Mo Salah as my three premium midfielders, which is basically what I started the season with three premium mids. And then looking to bring, you know, either Son or Kane back for that fixture run when perhaps the others' fixtures aren't as good. You have to target those fixtures. And I think I want to stick with the four in midfield rather than going for five. I mean, your power five midfield of De Bruyne, Fernandes, Salah, Son and Grealish would be fantastic. But again, I just think elsewhere in the team, you are going to have to make sacrifices in order to fit that power five in.
Yeah. You can't have three Nico Williams in your back three.
You can't have three Nico Williams, no, despite his excellent 5-point return at the weekend. But yeah, it's a tricky one, but I think I will stick with my two premium defenders at the back and go with the three high-priced midfielders and go without Harry Kane.
All right, let's move on to mid-price mids then. So this is the question that I've got for you too. So I'm looking to bring in Salah. I won't be able to do it this week. It'll be next week. But in order to free up the funds, this is based on no significant changes in price, I need to bring in a midfielder for 5.8 million or less. So injured Ziyech is going to make way, who I brought in and then had three terrible game weeks. So what a brilliant signing he was. And I don't know who to bring in. The three highest scoring midfielders under that price as it stands are Neto of Wolves at 5.6 million, Click of Leeds at 5.5 million and then Podence at 4.4 million of Wolves. Should it be one of those three just because they've got the highest points, do you reckon?
You know, it's a shame that I bought in Ward-Prowse. It's a shame you haven't got that little bit more money because I think he's such a great option at the moment. He's 6.2.
Yeah, Southampton look good.
How much have you got, Rich?
5.8 is the absolute maximum. And that's, I'd ideally go for something less than that just in case of a Salah price rise.
The price rise on Salah, yeah. Because, I mean, I tell you what, I think Eze would be a good option at Palace.
Yeah, that is a good shot.
He's done really well every time he plays and he looks like an exciting option. He's 5.8. I also quite like Pascal Gross at Brighton, rolling back the years. I think he's done pretty well the last few game weeks. And obviously a couple of seasons ago, he was one of the highest scoring midfielders.
I think the season before he moved to England, he got the most assists in Germany. And that was like ahead of, you know, Thiago and Robin and Ribery and players like that. So, yeah, he's kind of gone off the boil a little bit. The one who I'm maybe keeping an eye on is Ademola Lookman at Fulham. He's only owned by 0.6% and he looks like the tricky man at Fulham. But they do have Liverpool this weekend, so I don't think that's the wisest of decisions.
So he's not on pens.
Yeah, I think he could be a good option.
Yeah, he can't be on penalties, Jesus. I mean, Fulham's penalties this season have been absolute jokes. But I don't even know who their number one taker is now.
You know what, Rich? There's three Liverpool players. In terms of the injuries they've got at the moment, I know they're kind of having to play defence or whatever, but you've got Wijnaldum, Fabinho,
he scored,
and Hendo as well. Hendo had a bloody good game, didn't he? He got something. He got 11 points at the weekend, Hendo.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Wow. Oh, maybe a Liverpool player.
Because he got two assists in the Henderson.
Oh, right. No way. But bringing in Henderson, though, he's not an attractive acquisition, is he, Henderson?
No. I mean, they've got Fulham, Spurs, Crystal Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, Burnley. Let me know. That's a great run of fixtures, actually, for Liverpool, isn't it, when you look at that?
Yeah.
And Milner's out. Alexander-Arnold's still out. They've still got a lot. I don't know. Wijnaldum's goal was a worldie.
Yeah, Wijnaldum's looking quite tasty. He's only scored one goal this season, though, and he's got no assists. And he's, you know what? He's played 90 minutes in every game apart from the Merseyside derby. So he's not really done much. Last season, what did he get? 4 goals, no assists. That's not ideal.
Yeah, no, don't go for Wijnaldum or Henderson, Rich, for God's sake.
But in terms of, they're going to get minutes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's about the front three for Liverpool, isn't it, really, and the wing backs?
Yeah, and Trent is back now.
Trent is back. What do you think about Solly March of Brighton? Because he tends to play pretty much every game for Brighton and he scored a few goals this season. I think he scored against United, didn't he? A few weeks ago, was it?
Yeah, I think he could be half decent. I mean, Podence at 5.4.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Could be a really good option. I mean, particularly with obviously absolutely awful what's happened to Raul Jimenez, but with Jimenez out, Podence and Neto have suddenly got quite a big role to play, I think, in terms of attacking for Wolves, and they've got to pick up that slack. I mean, 5.4 million, I know he's gone down in price because obviously quite a few people put him in and then took him out. Yeah. And Neto also, I really like Neto as an option. I mean, at 5.5 million, the fact he's got like 53 points for a 5.5 million midfielder is really good. You could have had him sat in your team at the start of the season, just ticking over at that price.
Yeah.
So good. The problem with Wolves is the fixtures are tough. I mean, they've got Villa next, which is okay. But then they've got Chelsea, then Burnley, which is okay. But then Spurs, United. Yeah. So there's a few tricky ones over Christmas. But I think him... What about Rafinha for Leeds, Rich?
Ooh, where's he? I'm scrolling down a little bit here.
So he's 5.4 as well. He started the last three games and he scored against Everton.
Yeah.
It didn't return in the other two, but obviously they drew 0-0 with Arsenal in one and lost 3-1 to Chelsea in the other. Mm. But Leeds obviously look great going forward. And I think he looks like a really good player. They've got West Ham, then Newcastle, then Man United, then Burnley, then West Brom. So a really nice run of fixtures for Leeds. And if you haven't got Bamford, perhaps Rafinha could be a little option. Great differential.
Yeah, I'm trying to find him. Hang on, let me go to Leeds. Let me dig him out. Because Leeds are just like the most fluid side, aren't they? Like, you don't know how they're going to come at you, whether they're going to come down the middle, down the right, down the left. They could just knock it long and they just seem threatening no matter what way they come forward. But I mean, they've got so many midfielders around that same price of Rafinha. You know, Costa's in there at 5.4, although I don't think Has he been injured or something? Don't think I've heard of him recently.
Yeah, he's not been playing. So, yeah.
Harrison, Click, they're also in there. It's so hard to tell out of all those players out of who to pick, but maybe Rafinha could be the real differential. But is that what I want in my team? Do I want another differential?
I think him, Gross, and the two Wolves guys are your best options at that price.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, the thing is, like you say, Wolves just don't look good going forward this season. I know Jimenez hasn't been as productive as he usually is, and obviously he's out injured now, so they're going to have to change their style completely. Because basically, Podence, Neto and Traore, they're all wide players, aren't they? So it's going to be strange not playing with a dedicated central figure who knows how to play that role. And, you know, if they were already struggling to score goals to begin with, I can't see them getting any better without having anybody else in that position.
But then you look at Neto's returns, and he's returned in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's returned in pretty much nearly half of his fixtures so far.
Yeah.
Which, for that price,
pretty good, isn't it?
You can't complain at that. If he's getting a return every other game, and obviously he got 13 points against Arsenal.
Yeah.
You can't complain at that.
He looked good against Liverpool as well. For a long time in that Liverpool match, Wolves looked pretty good. And then he just completely fell to pieces. So, yeah, maybe. I think Neto could be sat at the top of that table, but I do like the shout of Rafinha. That is a proper, proper out there kind of answer. Less, what was it, 1% ownership, something like that? Oh, man. God, don't you hate this game? Doesn't give you an easy answer.
Is he going to play, though? Is he going to play every game? Is he a starting man, Rafinha?
I don't know for certain. No. I mean, I've seen a few people on Twitter shouting him, and obviously started the last three. He does look like an exciting player, but I would have to ask Leeds fans, maybe go on the Leeds forums or something like that, yeah, to see if he's going to keep his place.
And you know what? Leeds have looked good going forward, but they haven't actually been scoring that many goals. They've been making opportunities. I mean, I think they had 25 shots against Everton or something like that, and they only scored the one. I mean, it was enough to win, but they've not been scoring bags and bags of goals for a few weeks now.
Do you feel like they're due a big score, though? I feel like when a team is having that many shots, you feel like one day it's just going to click and they're going to score 4 or 5 goals, you know?
Yeah, and I'd love Rafinha to be involved with a lot of that.
Yeah, it feels like they're the type of team that
you could get a 4-0 out of nowhere.
You get on one of their players right before it happens.
Yeah, West Ham's their game on Friday night as well. Oh, that could be a shout, you know, it's Rafinha. Tempting. That is tempting. Only owned by 0.5% of players. Yeah, he does look good, doesn't he? I'm going to have to watch a few highlights. I need to watch a player a couple of times, I think, before I make a final judgment call on him. But I think at the moment, yeah, Neto is sat top because he's an exciting player. Whether he plays on the right or the left, he does look good.
Yep.
And like you said, he's done it near enough all season. So I think Neto sits top at the moment. But close second is Rafinha.
It's interesting, isn't it, actually? Looking at that category, there's a few okay options in there. And if you get one of those cheap midfielders, which is what I started the season with, with a 5.5 million midfielder, and then only the two mid priced strikers, so that I could have those three high priced midfielders.
Yeah.
If you get one in there that can just tick over, you've got a bargain, and it allows you to spend that extra money elsewhere, you know, on your higher priced players. I think really I want a front two of Ings and Bamford going forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking Calvert-Lewin's obviously the top, well, I think he's the top scorer still, but it kind of feels like Everton are going into a hard run of fixtures now, and we've not really quite clicked over the past month or so, although Calvert-Lewin has been the only man who's been delivering. I think he might have to be cut at some point to make funds available elsewhere. I just need to get Salah in. I just need him. I never thought I'd rely on a Liverpool player as much as I do on Mo Salah. Pains me to say it.
Yeah, me too.
Do you want to move on to questions?
Go on, let's have some questions.
Yes.
All right, so this is coming from Carl Page, at CarlPage59 on Twitter. Should I captain Jota this week, or is it too big a risk? He's in such good form, but will he play? If not, who out of Kane, Son, KDB or Dominic Calvert-Lewin should I captain?
I mean, they're playing Fulham, so he could well rest either Mane or Salah, and you know, Jota's been in great form, but then he's probably going to come off the bench, isn't he, for a kick around. So if he doesn't start and you've captained him, you're only going to get, you know, 2 points probably. out of him when he's the captain, which is not what you want. I think the best thing to do with your captain is pick someone who you know is going to start, even if it's not necessarily, you know, the most exciting of players. Like, I mean, I'm just going to put mine on Kane again, probably, because he continuously delivers this season, and it seems to be the most risk-free captaincy choice.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I mean, unless you get some news that Jota's definitely going to start, I think Jota could be a great captaincy option if he starts. But keep an eye on the Liverpool Champions League fixture. Oh, yeah. Obviously, they're already through, so it's going to be interesting if... with the kind of lineup that Klopp names, you know, if you're Salah, Mane are on the bench and Jota starts, you may be thinking, okay, well, the front three is probably going to be Mane, Salah, Firmino against Fulham. There are rumours that Salah could be rested against Fulham, but I think they are just that. I think keep an eye on it. And if you're really sure that Jota's going to start, then why not give it a go? But yeah, I think Kane or Son would be a better choice if you haven't got Salah, because they've arguably got the best fixture in Crystal Palace. I mean, having said that, you know, City are playing United. Anything could happen in that game. KDB could score well. Fernandes could score well.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, well, actually, that leads on to @Bocco91's question. Alex Bocking, he's basically talking about bringing Salah back in, like we all are. But the only way you can do that is by swapping out KDB for Salah, would you?
For this game week, yes.
Yeah.
But not ongoing.
City have got West Brom the week after at the Etihad. So you can only expect goals in that game. And then Southampton, Newcastle, Everton after that. So it's a tough one.
It's a toss-up. I mean, if that's the only way to get to Salah, then look at KDB's fixtures for five game weeks and look at Salah's fixtures for five game weeks and see who you think will score more.
Yeah.
If you think Salah's going to score more, put him in, and you're confident of captaining them as well.
Yeah.
If you think KDB is going to score more, put him in. I know that sounds quite simplistic, but it's the only way to decide.
If he's already got KDB, I'd keep KDB in, because I think there's going to be goals in this Manchester derby.
Okay, and finally for the questions from Andrew Taylor. This is a premium that we haven't spoken a lot about this season, but is he on the turn? Andrew Taylor says, I feel that Giroud brings out the best in Timo Werner. Thoughts?
Because
obviously Tammy's been starting, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, Giroud started at the weekend, didn't he? I think, yeah. And
I feel like we're just chasing the golden goose with Timo Werner. Like, I just feel like it's this, like, surely, like, one day he's going to bang. One day he's so good, he's class and all this stuff. Yeah, fine, but he's not returning points, is he?
Like when Torres went to Chelsea from Liverpool and he played, like, 60 games and scored 3 goals. And he's like, oh, he'll come good eventually, and he never did. So it could well be that with Werner.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite Torres levels, is it? But, yeah, you're right. I just think... at 9.3 million or whatever, you can get Son for 0.2 more. Like, why are you bothering with Timo Werner? Don't bother with him at the moment. If he puts together a bit of a run and you're watching him and you think, right, he's going to bang, then yeah, but there's so many other options at that price, isn't there?
Yeah. There is an option at Chelsea. There is an option for Chelsea this weekend, because Ziyech has gone off injured. This could be Pulisic's time to step up to the plate.
True.
Who could be the new guy to hit form. So if you want somebody who's not been picked that much, Pulisic could be your guy this weekend. I'm not going to pick him, but, you know, if you fancy a choice out there, which not many people have made, Pulisic could be your guy.
Good differential shout for sure, yeah. I mean, just who's Lampard going to pick? Is he going to go with Giroud still, or is he going to go back to Abraham? I mean, I thought about that because I had the right money, actually, to go Kane to Abraham and Rodriguez to Salah, but I've been priced out of that now that Salah's moved up 0.1. So I was looking at maybe Tammy Abraham, but then obviously Giroud started at the weekend. So it's a tricky one. If Giroud started every game or Abraham started every game, I think they'd be in everyone's teams, because both of them always return good points, particularly Giroud over his points per 90. I mean, it's obviously skewed because he's a substitute a lot of the time, but when he plays, he always returns. He did it for Arsenal. I don't understand why he can't just get a run in a team. I don't know why managers don't trust him, because I think he's a really good option. And you're right, he could bring out the best of those players around him, I think, much more than Abraham can.
I just think they're jealous because they're not as handsome as them, the managers. That'll be it. They want the hair.
The last question comes from @BenAnderson_88. He's a really nice guy. He's having a terrible season. Hi, guys. Taking many minus points this season, would you take a -4 again this week if it meant I could get in Trent Alexander-Arnold against Fulham?
No.
No?
No. Why? Don't take a hit for a defender. Don't take a hit for defenders. Even if it's Trent, yeah, for now, just because of the way Trent's been playing so far this season.
He's not been good this season, has he?
Yeah, okay. I think it's tricky taking hits for defenders never take a hit for a goalkeeper either.
Mate, stick with Esri Konsa.
Eye for goal.
And hi, Ben. Just in response to that, could you tell me who told you to captain Kane instead of Vardy this week if it paid off?
Mate, thank you ever so much for that.
No, it was me and Rich.
Yeah. I'm really, honestly, like, I'm having a torrid time here and I'm hating this FPL season to the point where I even text back into the group and said, I'm about to stop playing this season. Like, I'll keep producing the podcast because it's really nice to see you boys, but I'm not carrying on with this game anymore. But I'm really glad that I am. I think, you know, things can turn around, can't they? It's still only week we're in. It's still only game week 12. You know, there's not even a third of the way in yet. You know what I mean?
No, loads of time. This is why I still think Everton are going to win the league.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, plenty of time. Okay.
So, boys, what moves are we making this week, if any, and who are we captaining?
So, moves, got to get rid of injured Ziyech because it looks like he's going to be out until New Year. So there's no point in keeping him on my bench. So yeah, like we said, it's probably going to be either Neto or Rafinha coming in. I'll decide closer to the deadline. And I think I'm probably going to captain Kane once more. Crystal Palace away for them. Could be a tasty little fixture that.
I'm going to do nothing, I think, this week.
Rolling the transfer?
If in doubt, don't.
Yeah, if in doubt, do nout.
Captain's armband probably on Jamie Vardy against Brighton. At home.
Oh, yeah. Could be a shout there.
Yeah, be a good differential captain this week as well, Vardy, I think. I'm very, very close to bringing in Mo Salah. I think I will. I've got two free transfers and I'm waiting on Newcastle news because I think the training ground is back open, but we need to know what kind of squad they're going to have. But they've got some really nice fixtures and obviously we'll have a double game week coming up as well. So I'm thinking Kane to Callum Wilson. And James Rodriguez to Mo Salah. If I can't get Wilson, I don't really know what I'm going to do because I don't really want any other striker and no other striker will facilitate that move from James Rodriguez to Salah. Mm. So I've got a bit of thinking to do there, but I think I need Mo and I'm going to captain Mo because so many people will be captaining him this game week against Fulham.
God, I need to get him in. It's like De Bruyne last weekend. I needed to get him in.
That's the thing. But then, you know, you would have been, I think, close to a green arrow had you not taken that hit, Rich. So you don't always, you know, you don't always need those players, but Salah could do a lot of damage this week. And, you know, we all love him, don't we? We all love him as an FPL option. So I will just feel a lot calmer when he's in my team, even more so than even if that means I have to get rid of Harry Kane. So I think that's what I'm going to do this game week. Mad also, I think that even after all of the coronavirus stuff and everything happening, people still making really early moves to avoid price rise and stuff.
Yeah. Just to say 0.1 million or whatever. It's not worth it at all.
I mean, I get it in terms of like, well, I'm going to be 0.1 million away from Salah if I don't move now. So I do get taking that risk. But then suddenly, you know, something might happen like the Villa Newcastle game and you've got to take hits and then you're starting the game week 4 or 8 points behind everybody else that hasn't done it. So I'd always prefer to wait. And if it means that I have to get a cheaper player in or whatever to afford Salah, then so be it. But I'd always urge caution around coronavirus season.
All right, let's wrap it up, Ben. Apparently we've got a review.
Yes, we do. We forgot to read this out last week. Please do leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It's nice to see them and it helps more people to find us.
Remember, if it's 5 stars, we will read it out.
Yeah, exactly. So this is 5 stars from Andy Cairns, 1970, good who lad. Says, decent pod, but... .. This is a solid member of the FPL podcast list and well worth a listen. Need to drop that idea of the isolate transfer thing, though. Madness, says Andy. That's from a couple of weeks ago.
Five stars is five stars. That's all I care about. That's all we need.
Please do leave us a review. Tell a mate that Triple Captain's great.
Yeah, that's our new catchphrase right there.
Back to the poetry.
And quick shout out to Stephen Lafferty, who has moved to top of our Triple Captain mini league. With his team Lafferty's Lions. He scored 84 points this week and he takes the lead over Dave Redford in second with Mutz Nuts, who is 4 points behind. And Luke Jurdy hanging in there, seventh place.
We won't go on to our places in the league. Anyway, best of luck for game week 12 and speak to you boys soon.
Good luck, everyone.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Dan and Katie Daily.
Right, guys, production meeting. Sorry, I know you don't want to carry on with your days, but we need to make a promo.
About the podcast?
Yeah, about the podcast.
Okay, well, it's a podcast. Yeah. We make it. Go listen to it. See ya. That's one like that.
Well, no, but... No.
Hi, this is Dan, Katie and Posh Ben, and this is our promo for our show. I forgot the show.
Hello, this is Dan and Katie, and this is our podcast. It's the Dan and Katie Daily.
Clever, isn't it?
Subscribe.
Review.
Share.
When you said share, I thought of actual share.
Actual share.
So, this is the Dan and Katie Daily. Search for us and subscribe now in your favourite podcast app.
Yeah.
We'll get something slick out of that.
Right.
Yeah.
The Dan and Katie Daily from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.